The following podcast is scheduled for one fall with no time limit.
Super Hot Fire!
The greatest spectacle in podcast entertainment, Mr. Nestlemania!
That was literally verbal diarrhea. I'm setting the bar awfully low. Titus O'Neil keeps running directly into that bar. Get him off my TV, get him off my TV. You make me very angry.
The man who has a better IQ than you, the awe-inspiring JC!
You should go work for WWE because you'd be so up far on Vince's
no,
butt.
No, no, no,
oh, you are
no,
such
no,
a
no,
suck
no,
up.
No,
you defend everything, all the bad moves they make.
This is the Jobber Knocker Podcast.
What's up, jobbers, and welcome to the latest edition of the Jobber Knocker Podcast. As always, it's Nestlemania alongside for the ride is a man that always knows that it's open mic night, bitch. JC.
Oh, thank you.
So we have a lot going on this week, JC. We can talk about a lot of different things. I thought Raw really did a great job. I thought SmackDown had some good stuff too. And we always start somewhere. We got to start in the shine.
Always in the shine. We got Mandy Rose and Cody Rhodes, the double-edged coin there of the shine people. But Nestlemania, I think we got to start right on SmackDown. Cody Rhodes has the championship locker room. And suddenly we're starting to see the next chapter of the bloodline starting to unfold as we see Heyman being like, we lost it. It's his. And Solo was not a happy camper. So a nice little tease there. And of course, later in the night, Solo is very upset, and he's upset with Jimmy in particular because he failed. And per orders of the tribal chief, Nestlemania, he has another bloodline member, a new one. Tama Tonga makes his debut, attacks Jimmy Uso. Apparently Solo and him are following orders from the tribal chief, which may not be Roman Reigns. So a lot of storyline here, but I think this was something that the bloodline needed, was a little reset here, something fresh, and obviously bringing in a surprise new member is a great job to do it.
I mean, I popped for the Tama Tonga thing. Like, Dom and I love that shit, so we're like, let's do it. I think he's got a lot of charisma that is yet to be unlocked, and I think watching him in Japan is just kind of like, do his thing, like just the way he moves and gyrates and does things, I think you're gonna fall in love with him. I don't know, I'm not gonna put too much on him. There you go. If you can watch
yeah,
us
please
visually.
I'm not wearing the Nestle Curse shirt.
No, nope.
Not I'm wearing the nope. Let the Dolphin shirt. We don't want that either.
So. Nope. I'm gonna tether or taper my expectations. Excuse me. We've been waiting for Tonga for 2 years, says the Joe Stopper. We'll see what he can do. I don't know. We'll see. But it is exciting to see where this goes. I will say there's a couple of giant plot holes for me when I was watching this. I mean, I got excited. For it. But here's the thing, right? It was just like wins and losses matter. And it's just like
Solo, you've
like,
lost a bunch in a row, bro.
That's like 32 matches in a row. And I was just like, wait a fuck. Like, what the fuck? Right. So that happened. And then the other thing that I thought was just kind of odd was like this weird placement of Heyman of like, Heyman's always the guy that knows the plan, right? And it's just like, call Roman Reigns, and then he stomped the phone. And then to say words like, orders of the tribal chief, it made me go, well, it's definitely not Roman Reigns. It's either Solo or The Rock.
I was going to say, You smell that? You smell what The Rock is cooking? It's one of those things, I think it's a slow, because we could see Rock in a few months. Hell, we may not see Rock till next year at Mania. This is definitely a slow burn, but the positive, and the reason why I kicked off the show with it is because even though, yes, Solo has took the L's and there were some plot holes there, he's someone who for like the past, like since he debuted, has been a dominant member. And he's one of those guys that kind of gets lost during WrestleMania season. So like we said, like it's not WrestleMania season anymore, man. So now it's time for those, the full timers to really step up. And Solo's someone, I think this is a good thing that he can bite his teeth into. It'll be interesting to see how Jimmy deals with this going on, because obviously his brother's getting the title shot, which we would think that, assuming he loses, that would probably set us on the road to the Usos reuniting with a slow burn there. But the thing I like about Tama Tonga, and it's also a thing that you could not like as well, is I believe he's 41. So this guy's good to go. Like you said, he's Dom, like he told me, has wrestled in the G1. This guy's he's done a very good job in Japan. He's a seasoned veteran, so there's a reason he's coming straight to the main roster. It feels like he can step in right away, play a big role. And there's big shoes to fill with we've had The Rock and Roman Reigns for a few months running around. So for the bloodline to stay at the top of their game, they need this. And obviously we know there's another one on the way that's been signed. So it'll be curious to see how they integrate that in. But either way, it's like they went from something that's kind of been stale for a while and instantly made it interesting again.
The thing that made me really interested was, okay, we know Jacob Fatu is coming. And if you've seen clips of him, I don't know if you've seen him, JC, but you love big guys who do little guy things.
And he's much younger, right? He's younger.
Yeah, he's a big boy, but he's like, if Umaga could do a backflip in Lucha stuff, that's essentially what he is.
A meat flip? I like meat flips.
He's a meat flip. There's a clip, I'll have to show it to you. There's a clip of people putting a person on a stretcher in the middle of a ring. He goes up the top rope and does a full man meat splash backflip onto them while they're on the stretcher. And I was just like, oh, yes, this is going to be fucking great. I cannot wait for this destruction. But then it's just like in your head, you're like, there are so many things in my mind. Like, I don't kind of want Jey Uso to go backwards. I feel like he's kind of,
I don't think it is backwards though, because okay. I think, no, I don't think it is, because it's like the Usos are the greatest tag team of all time. All I could think of the past 6 months is how I want them to reunite. Now we got split titles again, so you need more tag teams and more top-level tag teams for a show. And it's also just like, this is where the story always goes. And I don't look at it as going backwards. I look at it like him and his brother. We all love reunions. It's like, we know it's going to happen eventually, and this is a way to slowly do it. Like I said, I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but I also don't think it's a mistake that Jay's getting this last shot here at the top of the mountain now, because now's the time to do it, because after this, I think he's going to be back on the road to reunite him with Jimmy. Obviously, we got the draft in a couple weeks, so it's an easy way to get them back on the same show. So a lot of the timing there makes sense, but I don't see it as a step backwards at all. I think Jay, he is great as a single star, and he still can be one. I mean, you can have single matches. I mean, his little brother's called Solo Sikoa, so he's going to be having solo matches. So there's still plenty of stuff to do. It'll be interesting to see, but at the end of the day, I think the Usos being back together is where we want to be at this point next year. So
our boy Joe Stopper says, the gimmick aside, Jay is not a main event on his own. Interesting.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay. Okay. That's
no way in hell Jay Uso and Damian Priest is main event in that pay-per-view. So
I mean, AJ Styles and
he's amazing. He's a great TV main event guy, but it's just one of those things. It's like, do we ever think Jay Uso is going to be a world champion? Probably not. Mid-card champion? Sure. Sure. Definitely get behind that. But world champion, I don't think any of us ever thought that. It doesn't mean he's bad. It just means it's, there's levels, man. And just like, it's just, as a tag team, him and Jimmy are our main event pay-per-view quality guys. As single star, he's a very, very, very strong upper card mid-carder.
Let me throw this at you. I'm just curious what everybody in the chat thinks, as well as, you know, the grand poobah over here, JC. As I thought about this, as we line up Samoans versus Samoans, it's going to be fucking ridiculous. And all I could think about was, can we stretch this and can we make this make sense? And would The Rock come back for Survivor Series for a 4-on-4 Samoan bloodline war games? Because what my thought was, just go with me on this. I'm sure I'm wrong, but like, just go with me visually on this. You have The Rock and Roman head up there. They're, you know, their peoples. And you have, so The Rock, Solo, and the two new guys, Jacob Fatu, and of course, Tama Tonga on one side. And then the other side is, you know, Roman, the Usos. And the wild card for me would be Sammy, just because it would be fucking hilarious. Because I'm like, I don't know what other Samoan, unless they get Zilla, who's incredibly young. He's Umaga's son, who's like just fucking incredible, but he's very young. So maybe they'll wait. But I would think that'd be interesting dynamic to make that kind of whole again in a different way. I'm just curious your thoughts.
I don't know if The Rock's going to work Survivor Series. To me, I think the definite is WrestleMania next year. The maybe is SummerSlam. And I don't think it's anything beyond that personally.
Okay. That's fine. Just curious. Because I feel I feel like it lends itself to, when you say Civil War kind of thing, you think War Games seems like the appropriate pay-per-view PLE for it. No?
Yeah, I don't.
Because 3-on-3 doesn't do anything for me. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm just talking timing here, man. I don't know if it's going to be that long. You know what I mean? Okay. I don't think it's, because obviously it's this is going to be a long winded thing, but there's going to be like, I don't know. It'd be interesting, but I don't see it quite lining up.
Okay. Perfectly fine. Anything else? Would you like to move on from the bloodline?
We can move on from the bloodline, WrestleMania, because, well, it's technically it's moving like adjacent to the bloodline, because we get to Monday and we're in the shine. That means we're talking about Cody Rhodes and him thanking Seth Rollins. And you know what? I watch these Cody promos all the time, and I'm like, man, I could see the things he does, especially on the mic. He is so motherfucking goofy. And I've always enjoyed that. But it's just like, everyone's in on it just because this motherfucker, the goofiness is literally genuine. That's just who he is. And I think it's one of those things. It's amazing to see. This is a guy who wrestling fans like would mostly just like, they'd hate this part of it. But with Cody, it's just endearing for whatever reason. But it obviously the big plot points here was he kind of gave us like a recap in his own corny Cody way. But it obviously led us into him bringing out Jay, which is kind of symbolic because he's the one who brought Jay over from SmackDown to Raw eventually and everything. And so Cody just went on his way. It's kind of an appearance. He did. The note I would take away from this is Cody did say, as of right now, he is officially a SmackDown superstar. So I guess if you win the title on the other show, you just automatically end up on the other show. That seems unfair to Raw to lose like their top draw, but it still seems like he's going to be working. So it doesn't matter, but it's just an interesting little roster note. But it obviously led in to Jey Uso, who was challenging Damian Priest for the title. And that was the main event. So I know this is the TV main event, and he defeated cleanly Finn Balor. WrestleMania. So very interesting. But the reason why I put this in the shine is because we're starting to get somewhere here with this little Judgment Day thing. Like all throughout the night, Damian Priest and Finn being like, we really need to focus on the tag team titles. And Priest didn't seem to care because he's got his championship. And Finn, well, we know he wants that thing. Michael Cole made sure to say on commentary about 600 times that Finn Balor spent most of last year chasing that championship. So it finally seems like we're getting closer and closer to this Judgment Day implosion. And obviously with something else that happened, it kind of, the strings are slowly being unwound in the Judgment Day.
That's true. That's very true. And I really appreciated that line where it's like, we're going to be a team and then no heat. And the other thing too, is when they beat down Jey Uso after the match for at least a second or something, it seemed as if Damian Priest wanted none of it, which I thought was interesting. Because from what you had seen with Finn Balor in the previous promo, it felt like Damian Priest was the heel. But now I can see this idea of the Judgment Day turning on Priest and keeping some type of unit together. So I don't know. And also, we'll talk about this later with the obvious bad stuff. But there was a point that someone said, you know, keep an eye on Dom. And I was just like, okay. So now my interest is piqued because I want something specific for Dom. But I don't know if we're going to go down that route. But it is interesting because I think we've seen as much as we can about the, well, I was going to say the Bloodline, but the Judgment Day. I feel like we've got as far as we possibly can. And there's so many people that are on the tippy top of Raw that kind of deserve their moment that I'll be curious to see how it shakes out with Damian Priest.
Yeah, it's definitely a chance for them to evolve with Rhea going bye-bye for a while. It definitely gives them an opportunity to kind of like just make it somewhat different, because I think you're right, because it does seem like it's Priest is kind of settling in now. There's not really the power struggle with him and Mommy. He's now going to feel like, since he's a champion, he's just the leader. And I think that's what that was kind of showing, where like obviously the two cronies, Dom and JD, were beating him up. And Finn kind of hesitated for a minute, but then he joined in. But like you said, Priest just stood by. And I think it's just going to feel more and more like Priest is just grabbing this power, and we know Finn's going to be jealous. So we're definitely on that track. I'm curious how it plays out, if it factors at all in France, or if this is a slower burn. We obviously have the draft coming up, which can throw wrenches into a lot of things. So it's definitely a dynamic to watch over the next few weeks.
Kind of something I want to talk about that I think is very shine worthy, because I guess it still piggybacks off of Monday Night Raw, was from Jey Uso getting done and then walking out of the crowd, all one shot, walking outside to a Sami Zayn looking up at Mars or Jupiter, whatever. And then they talk about, you know, whatever, being a fucking fan coming in the front door. And he said, you want to see the best, you know, sports wrestling crowd ever, come with me. And then he goes back down. And when I watched that entrance, because I don't watch entrances, but when I watched that, I went, not only is that one continuous shot, I think for like, I don't know, 7 minutes, but it was such an iconic moment. When I watched that, I went, from a production standpoint, that is incredibly difficult to pull off. However, just from being Sami Zayn, you look at it and you're like, well, that's a fucking moment right there. That's going to be top five of his life, because it just looked so fucking cool. And he was going nuts and throwing trash cans and like the crowd and like the whole thing. Like, and he has that song that everybody can chant to, and you're just watching it and you're like, holy shit, this is great. And he had the whole crowd on him. And then out comes the thank you. They boo him and they do the big match stuff. And it was a great match. It was absolutely, but it's almost like the match was almost secondary when you get the entrance and the feeling and the emotion and the way it was. And then the ending. I was just so interested in the ending, because again, never safe with the copyright when it comes to Triple H, but just the visual of him going to his wife kissing her and holding onto her hand and then losing his grip. And you're like, what the hell's going on? And you see him get suplexed and you're like, I don't know if you saw the picture, but there's a great visual of him trying to hold onto his wife's hand while he's getting suplexed. And I was just like, man, this was just so good, because we can talk about how great Chad Gable is as a babyface, but in my opinion, Chad Gable as a heel is so much better. And I feel like there's so much more of a potential for Chad Gable to finally get that Intercontinental title as a heel, not a babyface.
Yeah. So this, obviously there's a ton of shit here, because this was awesome. We're talking Sammy's hometown, and what I really loved about that entrance, I wrote it down as one of the better entrances I've ever seen, and credit to them for coming up with it. But it's just like, we see these crowds on TV, and you know when you're like in the crowd, how awesome this feels, especially like a hometown thing. But to be able to walk out with Sammy and feel like you're there, like that POV shot, like, oh, that crowd was hot all night for him. They were chanting Olay all night. It was referenced several times by Miz and stuff. Be like, these guys are ready for Sammy. And it was so cool to follow him kind of through the crowd like that. And it was such a unique way. And it's stuff we continue to see them experiment with. But that was just so fucking awesome. And it kind of set the stage like, this is a big fight. I thought the match started off a little clunky, which whatever. But overall, it got really good. And yeah, the moment at the end, and I don't know if you saw, but WWE released like the Chad Gable angle of his decision to attack. He kind of starts to walk away. He's still upset, shaking his head. He walks, but he hesitates, and then he just storms right over, and you see him grab Sammy, and boom, instantly. It was just, I saw that angle like today, and I was like, that's a really fucking cool angle. I'm glad they released that, because obviously when they're shooting it for TV, they're trying to keep Chad away, so you don't really get to see it. But seeing it afterwards, it's like, you get the whole view of it. But yeah, I mean, look, it, like, Chad Gable's always been one of my favorites. He's definitely one. He's awesome at whatever he does. And I feel like the Alpha Academy as babyfaces, it really kind of has done mostly what it can do. And they kind of turned babyface because the crowd got so behind him, because he was so goddamn entertaining as a heel with his little little segments that he did. And that's like with the thank yous and everything. So I think this made sense. This was the right time, because I think Chad Gable, the babyface, like you said, he went as far as he could go. He came up short, not once, but twice, to the former champion and the new champion. So for it to mean anything for Chad Gable, so he doesn't just dissipate into the night, was you do the character change. It makes it even more interesting. I don't know if he's going to win it, but it'd be cool if he did. I don't know if he is, but either way, like, there's a couple other things I'm curious to see. Cause obviously, like, I want to see how Otis and Maxine react. But the other big one to me is the tag team, the Creed brothers, who we've seen kind of join forces with them. Julius Creed tweeted that he's ready, willing, and Gable. So they're definitely leading to that. Gable leading the heel faction is going to be fucking awesome. The Creeds, hey, they were originally heels. So this kind of gives them, I think Gable gives them what they hoped Roddy Strong would give them, which towards the end, his character got better, but Chad Gable's just a whole different level, man. So the potential for this, you know, as Avery Bradley used to say, sky's the limit.
Yeah, I listen, when you said the Creed thing, I went, ooh, that's really interesting to me. And I don't know if he'll drop Otis or something, or maybe Otis will just go back to being or whatever. I don't know. But like, I the idea of having a faction built around that, of like studs that it can go in the ring.
Like mat wrestlers, like pure wrestlers.
But here's the thing. I feel here's my one caveat to that. I feel like they'd have to have Imperium go to a different show, because I feel like there are similarities with that.
Well, in WrestleMania, the draft is in.
I know, that's what I was alluding to. It's called foreshadowing, you jackass.
They didn't do a very good job of it. Poor. I give it a 2 out of 10.
Yeah, you would. How many stars is that? What's the star
rate in stars? Only virgins rate things in stars.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Anything else that you want to talk about that's very, very positive?
This move in general, we hop back to SmackDown. One of the triple threats, when Styles did the fucking Styles Clash off the top rope on the fucking KO. Oh, I was hot for that, baby. That was super hot fire.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was just like, whoa, how, like, you knew. So here's the thing. Like, we know AJ Styles is a foregone conclusion in my head. That way, Styles and LA Knight.
Yeah.
They get one and one. There's a rubber match probably at you know, something down the line there. Or he could cost AJ Styles and they can go back onto their feud or whatever. Cody needs a fucking big dub anyway. And we know AJ Styles can make everybody look good, make a broom look good. So that seems, you know, like a foregone conclusion. However, I did really like both matches. I mean, I thought that the LA Knight thing was more gaga, which is totally fine for LA Knight. But the wrestling match or that main event was fucking wonderful. Just watching all of them go at it was great. But watching like KO and Mysterio and then Styles just go out and do something, like, if you're going to watch a triple threat match, to me, that was like, wow. Just for a TV triple threat, that was wow. So go back and watch that if you haven't watched it, because it was just phenomenal. No pun intended, but it was. And Huge Wang's in the house. So thanks, Huge. Huge Wang. He really loves Rikishi, by the way.
Wang gang in the hizzy.
Yeah, his Wang thoughts with his purple pumpkin. No, it's an eggplant, but I was going to say purple pumpkin eater, but that's fine. Anywho, anything else you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, something else that excited me is they actually seem like they might be going forward with the Jade Bianca tag team. And WrestleMania, look it, we know Jade's going to be a big star on her own, but we obviously know they're still working her into the WWE style. Bianca, it feels like it just she's in a point right now where she's like too big of a star for her own good, because they're trying to keep her away from the titles for the time being, but it's hard to do. But I think this is a great way to do it. It's obviously the visual of it. These two together is just fucking dominance. I expect them to fully run train on the women's tag team division. We saw Chelsea and Piper as sacrifices number one, but I would expect this duo is probably going to take down the Kabuki Warriors sooner rather than later. And you know, I mean, they could have the potential, if depending how long they keep them together, to be the most dominant women's tag team of all time, which obviously isn't saying a lot because they've only been around a few years. But I just think it's something that they probably felt like they could do, and obviously can set up eventually whenever the split does happen, that mega match between the two. So it was nice to see, because I'm always curious out of WrestleMania, some of the decisions they make with some of these women. And you obviously don't want either one of these two going at Bayley right away, because that's kind of unfair to Bayley and with the draft coming up. But I think putting these two together right now is a smart decision. It's a way to ease Jade into the main roster and also give Bianca something new to chew on, because she really kind of has been like just in her own little, not a lot to do for a while. So I really like this.
Yeah, look, that definitely would be dominant. I think that, you know, maybe if you give them a long reign, we can make it all the way to WrestleMania. And my thing is if you're going to do it, please every once in a while remind us that they can be baby faces in danger, because if they're just dominant after a while, you just stop caring in some aspect of it, I think. So I to me, you lose me in terms of storytelling if it's not a great story. But I have faith in that they've already have figured it out, or they will figure it out once they pull the trigger on it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that would be interesting to talk about here or get you excited. What do you think? Anything else?
I mean, I don't really have much else. The only other note I had, because I don't really think it's heat, because I enjoy their chemistry together, is Naomi did get one back on Tiffy here. And we're going to have a baby match for Bayley right off the bat, Bayley and Naomi. But I think it's next week on SmackDown, but I wouldn't be surprised if Tiffy got herself involved here. So, I don't think she's done chasing that title just yet.
Well, she's not going to win right now, so I feel like it's probably good to get her, her sea legs under her, I guess, as they say, and just try to get her a big match and a big match experience on that type of level, so that she can be ready to be the mega super freaking star she's going to be whenever they decide to make her the mega super freaking star. So I'm interested, because I was like, oh, this is a cool little feud, I think, with Naomi doing something, because Naomi feels like the antithesis of Stratton in some form. And then I feel like the one thing I was worried about was I feel like sometimes you lose Bayley in something a lot of the time. So I feel like, hey, let's not forget Bayley's a fucking star and the champion here, because she went from the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, where we're kind of like, she is a big deal and maybe she's playing, backseat to other things. So my hope is that they just do her justice and give her time. That's all.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's all I got for Shine.
All right, let's go to the heat. Get him off my TV. Get him off my TV. Get him off my TV. Shall we start with Mommy?
Yeah, it sucks. So rip the Band-Aid off.
Rhea Ripley apparently dislocated her AC joint, which is where her collarbone and her shoulder are attached. And it was a fluke accident, supposedly, with the Liv Morgan bit from last week.
I think this happened before, because you remember she was on McAfee with the Sling. I just think the Liv thing was a good way to, write it off.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because she said on the show, she's like, look it, when I'm not wrestling, I wear this Sling 24/7 because it's not in good shape. So there was already something going on. So I feel like it was one of those things. She's like, look it, I want to wrestle WrestleMania. I want to get through it. And then we'll kind of see what after that. And here we are. Cause it was way too clean of it to happen like that. So it felt like the Liv thing was a story, cause it kind of brings that full circle, which is interesting, but But yeah, no, it sucks because Mommy's had such a good reign. I think she finally got those stamps of Nia Jax and Becky right there at the end. And you could tell the minute she walked out, like, she was fucking pissed. She was pissed.
My question to you is, they were going to have a match between Rhea and Liv that night if she wasn't technically injured. Why not just have the match and have Liv beat her? Like, by some type of hook or by crook,
and
right?
One of those things that maybe it just keeps getting worse. You never know how these types of things go, man. It's... But I feel maybe they felt like it's just like, maybe they have other plans. Like, maybe, I mean, I'll talk about more on who I want to win in the hope, but it's one of those things. Maybe they felt like it would mean more, like, storyline wise for Rhea to kind of like lose it kind of to Liv like she did, but not actually lose the title. Save the actual match. You know what I mean? But like, give the thing of being like, Liv did get her revenge by taking out Rhea the same kind of way that Rhea took out Liv. So I think it just would have been too much, too easy to just go out there and have Liv win the title like that. Because this way, Mommy comes back and she can go with the thing of she never lost it. She still looks dominant, undefeated, blah, blah, blah. And it really makes it like, if these two meet at, like, say, SummerSlam at some point, if that's when we have to wait for Rhea, that's a major match. So I feel like this might have been the right choice. As much of it sucks, you never want to see someone vacate. But I think in terms of setting that match up down the line, it probably makes it bigger.
The other thing that came across was that it felt like, well, we know that Mommy's going to be a babyface when she comes back, most likely, because of the way the crowd cheers for her anyway. But also, when you come back, everybody's excited to see you. And then it felt like Liv was starting to turn a little bit in what she was doing and saying, especially in that backstage promo. So it's interesting to me that, like, can a Liv Morgan heel Liv Morgan? Can that be enough? Or is it like one of those things where, like, somebody else is going to have this championship? We'll talk about it more, I'm sure, in your hope. Yeah. But it is interesting to me to think about, because I feel like Liv Morgan as a heel is interesting. I just don't know if she can captivate in a way that I'm really going to be.
No, like any heels, you're going to need someone to root against. But I think either way, looking at the Raw roster, it feels like it's going to be a heel champion. I feel like her and Nia, like I said, we'll get more into this in a little bit, but it feels like that. But there are some other people that I think Liv could work with too, so we can get to that as well.
Okay, fantastic. Moving on, let me see. Anything else do you want to talk that's super negative, or do you want me to just jump in and do my thing?
I mean, you can do quick hates because I want to shit on AEW whenever you're ready for that.
So very quickly, just because I just don't know what the fuck to say about this, but it is what it is. Bron Breakker has a new fucking song. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, he had it was great. And then they have this new fucking cat and garbage disposal theme song they give him, which I get. I'm sure it's probably something they had to do, as JC always reminds me.
I didn't think it was that bad. I like his old theme.
It doesn't fit him because he's just like, it wanted to, like, inject that song into my veins. Just his presentation was so great. So I just thought it was weird and I felt bad and I forgot that Cameron Grimes even existed. So I was like, oh shit. All right. And then it is what it is. Jobber alert. Moving on. Let me see what else we got here. I think we're good for most of it. Yeah. Well, with Jaden, like you said, Jaden Belair beat up the other two. That's fine. Moving over to Raw. Interestingly enough, we didn't talk about, let's see. So I'm curious your thoughts on the, I thought this was funny at the beginning and then it felt awkward at the end, which was the R-Truth and Miz stuff. We can talk about that more, but like just that promo alone, did you feel like it was kind of awkward, or am I imagining it?
No, I thought it was fine. The crowd was awesome, was hot for Truth, and they kind of gave it to him. And it's one of those things, like Truth just living the gimmick, making the jokes with Triple H, calling him Tommaso Ciampa and everything. Just like it, I thought it was just one of those things. Like they had a format of how they want to do it, and when you get a good crowd, the crowd says fucks with the format, and it makes it a little awkward. But at the same time, like, I think that makes it even better television. So
okay. All right, moving on. We didn't talk about this, but I thought it was a fun match, but it is what it is. Hard to do with three babyface tag teams. We have DIY wins the first match up here. I thought it was hard to have three babyface tag teams or three babyfaces in a triple threat in general. I thought they did a great job, but
take on babyface champions.
Yeah, it was difficult because I feel like the one thing I've noticed, and thank God that the draft happens every year, supposedly, is that like there's two glaring issues for me is the tag teams. There's an issue because we got to reshuffle the deck there. And then definitely the women's division, whether it's tag and or where the roster is for each side, we need to reshuffle that deck too, because I feel like we are heavy on one show and super light on another show, in my opinion, for contenders or championship material, in my opinion. So it's just it is a little bit bizarre. Speaking of which, Indy and Candice beat Ivy and Maxine for the 400th time on hashtag Monday Night Rerun. Go get your shirt at tpublic.com/jobberknocker. And TJ, our boy TJ, who designs our shirts, gave our boy JC his next new shirt, which is he is a unit, I believe, or an F in unit or something. So go check that out at jobberknocker. tpublic.com/jobberknocker. I'm interested that Indy finally turned, but that's about it. I don't really care about that shit. Moving on. Let's see. We had Andrade and Dom. It looked good, but all I cared about was the Dom Destroyer. That looked pretty fucking cool. But other than the rest of it, I was just like, it's a match. It's cool. Whatever. And then we had, which I thought was a head scratcher here, was that Chelsea and P won against Chance and Carter, but in a jobber alert, which I was like, the jobbers beat the jobbers, I guess.
I think it was just giving them their shit back after what Chelsea, was sacrificed to Jade the last 2 weeks. But again, it's just, I don't love when they do shit like this. Cause it's like, you have a 3-hour show. The women's tag division needs all the help it can get. These are your former champions. You brought up and did a great job. But since then, it's like, the only matches they've been in have been fucking squash matches. So it just is like, you can have them lose, but have it go like 5 minutes and then do the roll up. It just, yeah. I don't know.
It is tough. It is tough because I'm just thinking about like the impact in which when I see those four on my screen, I think, okay, I'm not going to see them for very long. And then I lose interest. I sometimes lose interest. I think that's pretty much it. I'm sure there's other things I could think of, but we'll stop there. Let's get hopeful, shall we?
No, let's not get hopeful, Nestlemania.
Why not?
Because we got to talk shit on AEW. Come on. Okay, this is the fine. Heat. Okay. The biggest heat of the week is those motherfuckers. Just like, oh my God. That show on Wednesday was a fucking disgrace. And it is like line for line. What is wrong with AEW? They focus on all the wrong shit. It's like you spend a segment airing the footage. Now I'm expecting like, okay, if you're going to air this footage of the brawl with CM Punk and Jungle Boy, if you can call it a brawl, then it's got to be that CM Punk was lying about something. Then they show the footage, which by the way, is this grainy video with no sound. So it's just like, you might think it's a mistake if you're watching TV or you're flipping through, which is bad television. First of all, they should have been narrating it. Like the Young Bucks should have been narrating this, but I'm watching it and Hawani even put up a video before it got taken down. It was word for word, frame by frame, what actually happened. What the fuck are you doing? You're just, again, it's just, and it's like you have people taking videos from the crowd. And instead of like, I know Tony tried to say like they were chanting fuck CM Punk. No, they were chanting CM Punk. Like actually for CM Punk, it's just like, what are we doing? And this is my biggest gripe with it. Because yeah, that's fucking terrible. It was dumb. But it's like they tried to use it as a device to set up Young Bucks FTR. It's like, bro, that doesn't need it. If anything, you're just cheapening that. This is like, what, going to be the third match in their fucking trilogy here? And the FTR promo after was fucking phenomenal. The Young Bucks promo before was very good. But like, why does it have to be about this? It's just like, it's so bad. It's bad like storytelling. It's bad writing. And it's like you're giving rub to CM Punk, who doesn't work for you anymore. And you're making yourself look like petty fucking idiots. And it was literally exactly what he said happened. So like, I don't know what they thought they were going to accomplish here, but I saw a lot of people just say they just motherfucking dunked on themselves there.
And then your boy.
Oh yeah. Billy Goat. That was fucking terrible too. It's like, dude, and I love Ospreay. I still love Ospreay. He's the fucking man. Whether this was his decision or not, again, it's them focusing on the wrong things. Him fucking just putting over Triple H. It's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? I was so disgusted with the show on Wednesday. I just deleted Rampage and Collision off the DVR. Had absolutely zero interest in watching it. Because I say, Joe saying, oh, they got you to watch. It's like, yeah, I've been watching. I watch every week. After watching that episode, I stopped watching. That's not what you want to do. And I feel like I'm not the only one. I saw people tweeting, our shout out, his nickname is Dumps as one of Bertsky's friends, Sean Eaton, him tweeting being like, man, he's been at AEW Mark since the beginning. He's like, this might be the thing that puts me off it. I don't think I can watch this anymore. And I feel like a lot of people probably saw that. I mean, I kind of felt like that. I'm still going to watch because it's fucking going to do it for this shit. But I skipped Friday and Saturday and I fast forward through that shit every week. So I don't think they won anything here. I think they just look like assholes. And instead of focusing on the good things they have on their fucking show, These are the headlines, man. Not this FTR Young Bucks feud, which should have been a headline. There was something else cool on the show. Like there was another match or something, but I don't remember it. And that's the fucking problem. All I remember is this fucking petty shit. Like grow up and stop being children. I got to be careful. I can't tweet that in WrestleMania because I might get attacked by all Virgilandia like you did. But it's just like, it's fucking pathetic, man. Go back to being what you fucking worked for you in the first place. Have fucking fun matches and show us the cool talent. Don't fucking focus on this bullshit. Get out of my face.
I mean, I could clip this off and see if they come after us again. If you want. This is for you, you AEW basement-dwelling virgins, you know? Well,
we know they don't listen to our podcast because this is not the podcast.
They were like, we're not watching your podcast because you like AEW. Nah. No, you don't. You like WWE. You're a homer. It's like, okay,
I
whatever.
Like all wrestling if it's good. I shit on what's bad.
Yeah,
this right now is the poop de la poop.
Ooh, and it's French. See, you do like WWE because they are going to France soon. So you're practicing your French.
You know, maybe AEW should go to France.
Okay. All right. I don't really have anything else to add because AEW is kind of in the toilet, in my opinion. I don't even watch Rampage because I just refuse to think there's anything good on Rampage that is worth my time. And then, you know, Saturday, I forget that Collision is a thing. So, and it is. Like, it made me excited when they had, like, rosters. But now
when they built the show around CM Punk.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just like, it felt cool. It's the same argument. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I guess here we go. It's the same argument about Dynamite that it is about Collision. When it first started, I was fucking amped up to go. I was like, ooh, Collision. And then you got excited because you were telling me all the things they were doing differently.
They literally, and they had every JC guy.
And it was just like, okay, cool. Like, I'll tune in and I'll try it. And I really did enjoy, like, the Saturday Night's Main Event promo feel before the fucking thing started. They had the fucking Elton John song. And it was the same thing with Dynamite. When we went to the second Dynamite ever, you, me, Kenny, and Todd, we just had a blast. We laughed at the pyro and everything. Like, it was so much fun. And I just kept thinking to myself, like, there's so many things that they're doing wrong that it hurts my feelings. Because this is the part where it really sets in that CM Punk, as much as we don't like CM Punk, was right that it's always going to be around.
I love CM Punk now. As I've ever liked him.
Is there's nothing to do in that company except spend money on free agents and fucking put on matches that are great that people are going to tune into. But what they don't do well is bring you in and promote. They don't promote anything that it's just because you put a fucking match screen up doesn't mean people are going to fucking come in droves to come see you or watch you on television. That's just not how it goes. You have to pique my interest because Triple H said it a long time ago. And I hate it because it's going to come off like I'm a WWE guy, but it's true. Probably, but that I'm trying to be fair in this assessment is like, it's not wrestling versus wrestling. It's all content versus all content. Like 100%. They're all fighting for my attention as a person. Yeah. Like that's what you should look at is like, I need to grab somebody and be like, you can't go anywhere except this spot on a Wednesday, Friday, or a Saturday. And they can't do it. They cannot do it. And I'm sorry, but Jon Moxley as the IWGP champion is not going to fucking get me excited and fucking hot and bothered. Having fucking the Billy Goat versus Daniel Bryan is going to be great. But you know what? I'm not going to buy the pay-per-view. I want to support Swerve because I fucking love Swerve. But I'm not going to buy the pay-per-view because you're three pay-per-views too late for me to be excited about it. I'm sorry. That's just the case that I feel. So I feel like they're too little, too late. They don't know what they're doing. Sasha's been on the floor moaning in a fucking backstage segment that I thought was very cringe.
That got a lot of people very excited, though.
Right, because, you know, people...
Shout out, Bert.
Yeah, Bert's probably sitting there, you know, putting his hands down his pants and having a wonderful time with that. But it's just like stuff is just, there's just bad and then there's really bad. And I just feel like it's not even like I'm watching it because it's so bad it's good. I'm watching it going, oh God, I don't even care about this. Like, I just don't care about anything they do. And I want to. I really, really want to because I want it to be healthy. I want it to be there for the other wrestlers to have a decision that they can go somewhere else and get paid. I want it to be healthy. There's a lot of good positives to AEW, but the biggest negative is Tony Khan. It just is. The biggest negative that it is that man will not let anybody else drive. That's it. He's going to always...
It's a double-edged sword because here's the thing. AEW literally cannot exist without Tony Khan.
Right.
Cause the only reason that company is surviving is because he is just digging into his fucking, his personal money and just spend. It's the only reason this company has survived, because it's like, you see like the lack of filling arenas, the lack of promotion, like the TV deal can only get you so far. Like they have a lot of expenses and they do their best putting a good show with the pyro and everything, but it's just like, it's all coming out of Tony's pockets, man. So it's just, it's such a fucking tough paradox because it's his fucking company. So the reason why he exists is him, but like a lot of the big flaws, like you said, are him. So I agree. That's why, Joe, you're picking up what I'm putting down. I wore this shirt because Wednesday night, Dynamite left the Dolphin in the most horrible way possible. And like I said, there were little pieces of good mixing on that show, but those two glaring things are the biggest reason why that company is struggling right now in terms of creating compelling stories and content.
All right, now?
Yeah, now we can go to hope.
Oh, we can get hopeful? Okay. Do you want me to go first, or would you like me to go?
You can go if you'd like.
You're my only hope? Yeah. Well, JC, I don't know if you're watching, I don't know, SmackDown or Raw this week, but because it's you, because mm-hmm. I'm sure our boy, you know who, will be listening and or watching to this, I figured we bring back a segment that we all enjoy.
Ooh.
That's right. Detective Nestle is back. I have it. I figured, what the hell? I'll do it. I'm just saying right now that I am very interested in the You Forgot About Us glitches. And then, of course, this entire thing that happened on Monday with this kind of whole thing. It was so freaking good. I loved it. It led you down to it was a QR code that led you down to an image that you had to put together. And then that led you to a web address. And then it sent you to a video with a picture of Plato's cave. And I just kept going down the rabbit hole and I was looking into things and I was just like, what am I looking into? What am I like? It was driving me insane. And I was just like, I am so satiated by it. I was loving every second of it. And I was like trying to find, what's the matter?
The face you were like,
yeah, it was great. No, I was so excited because, like, here's the thing. The Fiend was so fun for me as a human being to kind of go off into fucking, you know, Planet Flafluga and just have fun. And I don't know if they'll ever reach that point again, but just things like that is so great. So the Plato's cave thing really spoke to me. And it had this great picture of basically what it showed was prisoners being chained to a wall, seeing shadows behind them of puppets at their wall. But if they had turned their body, they could have realized that if they just looked, they could actually break free of their cave, but they're mm-hmm. only concerned with what they're told and what they see. So it gives you this whole kind of paradox of this entire kind of thing. It's really, really cool. And I thought the allegory of the cave thing really got me really excited about it. However, I'm going to kind of put a pause on that because I think what I'm hoping for here is that because we live in a world that with the Paul Levesque era where there's going to be factions and groups and stuff, I think this is now the time that eventually we will get the Wyatt Six. We were talking about it when, you know, Bray Wyatt was coming back. Here's what I would propose. And again, I'm probably throwing this out of thin air, but I'm trying to think about people who mostly connect with Bray Wyatt. So you have Uncle Howdy / Bo Dallas, you know, probably heading up that whole thing, right? I would think that in some form or fashion, you get Eric Rowan, which whatever, it is what it is. Maybe he'll bring his giant rat back with him. Then, of course, we have Alexa Bliss, which I think is an absolute slam dunk here. Then fourth, but not certainly not last, and obviously number one in JC's heart, Roar, Monday Night Roar with our boy, the Strowman. That's four. And this is where it gets a little odd. However, there is connective tissue here, so I think it'd be interesting, and she'd do very well. I think Nikki Cross being fucking weird and being that connection with Alexa Bliss, they could go after the women's tag titles. They could have some type of weird thing going on.
They've done that before, WrestleMania.
So I think that'd be really cool. And then here's kind of the off the board thing, but it's not terrible. It would be really interesting considering what it could be done under the Triple H era and not the Vince McMahon era would be deleted. Matt Hardy comes back under that because he did win the tag titles with Bray Wyatt and had that whole back and forth with the Ultimate Deletion in WWE. And McMahon didn't really know what to do with it. I think Triple H would kind of jump into that a little way. And I think that'd be really interesting to see what would happen. I think all these people just want to come together to keep Bray Wyatt's name, you know, in your thoughts and prayers and in your front of your, you know, your cortex there. But it's interesting to me because in theory, everybody in this group isn't really a main event star, but I think together they can all kind of like fill the void that Bray Wyatt may have left just a little bit. And I think that would be really interesting for me. I think that that's, that'd be really cool to see what they can do, because we need a creepy group that is really dominant. And I think that would be fucking awesome. What do you say? Hardy would be Poochie for the Wyatt Six.
Well, so I will say the one Hardy did literally tweet out.
Yes.
Thing. So yeah. I think that's happening. I mean, I don't know what their current AEW status is, but I think the one thing that's going to happen instead of what you said, it ain't going to be Nikki. It's going to be Jeff. They're going to bring the Hardys as a package and put them in this. Jeff's already fucking weird. And does the face paint and everything. So it just kind of works seamlessly. And so kind of stick them in. And I think Alexa can kind of work as like the mouthpiece leader, obviously, for this group. We've seen Rhea do it with the Judgment Day. I think it's kind of cool to see more and more like women having power in these factions. But I am curious because the Uncle Howdy character wasn't met with a lot of like excitement by a lot of people, even including myself. So I'm curious how it works this time. And look, I'm someone who loved Bo Dallas in NXT. But I don't know. So I'm curious how they execute it. Rowan and Strowman obviously make a ton of sense. I think Strowman makes him even more legit, a former world champion and stuff there. So I am curious to see how they execute this. Cause like you said, I mean, besides Braun, I guess he could be like the main event level star. It's just, I'm curious how that fits in, what type of feuds they're going to have. I mean, the obvious one is with your favorite, the Final Testament. So there you go.
Well, you would totally fucking have a giant 10.
Braun versus AOP? Meat!
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, and absolutely.
Throwing, I guess.
Throwing, I guess.
Bring back the tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs.
Yeah, but your boy Joe Stopper says Liv Morgan could also work as a Sister Abigail. I don't know, maybe. We'll see. Not really sold on that.
She's on her own thing. Her and Alexa, they got the similar thing there going on. So,
So to me, I'm very excited about this entire thing. However, I really do hope that this, here's my thought. And again, this is kind of terrible to say out loud, but I think you can understand where I'm coming from when I say it. I think there's nobody like Bray Wyatt. No one's ever going to replace Bray Wyatt because he was such a visionary, such a creative endeavor in his own right. And just a genius of what he did. And I loved that entire thing. However, we heard everybody say he had so many ideas. He couldn't just stop and focus on that idea. He wanted to go in a different direction. And that was kind of his Achilles heel here. I think what the best case scenario would be here is now that Wyatt is unfortunately passed, you know, God rest his soul, all of these people here aren't going to be doing that kind of feeling of like, oh, I want to do this. No, I want to do that. No, they're all going to be in a singular plane trying to accomplish something and probably working together with Triple H and not having that headache creativity wise. And I think when everybody's on the same page, just when like, well, this is just the best idea possible. I think it's going to create, we're all as fans going to have some like latitude and longitude in terms of like giving them a lot of rope and slack to be like, okay, let's see where this goes because we know they want to do this for Bray. So I feel like it's going to have a lot of goodwill up front. And then we got to see what the meat and potatoes is. So I think I'm very interested in that after the honeymoon period. I think we're going to see what really, really transpires here because it could be really good.
I hope so.
I said, it's a hope for a reason, right? That's what I want. My Wyatt Six with those six characters, you can interchange who you want, but I'm very curious to see where this goes because it piques my interest because now every week I'm going to come on this program and try to fucking decipher something like Indiana Jones or National Treasure or something. It's going to be great. I got to get a top hat, maybe a detective hat. Is it a fedora?
It's better than your fucking little Star Trek bullshit you got going on. So I think everyone would be happy with a top hat.
What if I just did this?
Your hair just look like you gave yourself flaps because your hair like went up when you did that, you know? Yeah. All right. I'm going to go to my hope now just so Nestle stops embarrassing himself with his flaps there. And mine, like I mentioned, is about the Women's Heavyweight Championship. They gave a very non-definitive graphic on Robbie, and like next week we crown a champion. I was like, whoa. So they're doing this right away, apparently. So it's clearly something they want to have figured out. So I'm assuming we're getting some sort of multi-women's match. Nia Jax obviously cut a promo on it. Liv cut a promo on it. So they're obviously in it. Curious to see if Becky comes back for it. Not sure if she will or not, because I think her and Seth taking some well-deserved time off, but who knows? might fly her in for it. So she's a possibility. You obviously have Shayna and Zoe who kind of swim around it. I mean, Natalya's on Raw, so I'm thinking we're probably getting like a some sort of six-pack challenge, maybe an elimination, maybe a gauntlet, like maybe a tournament throughout the night. I don't know if they're going to dedicate that much time to it, but they say they're crowning one next week in WrestleMania. The way I was thinking, I was like, look it, this injury for Rhea, I don't think it's super long. They're saying a couple of months. So I think the important thing for me is that Liv Morgan kind of needs to be holding that title when she comes back. So if it's only a couple of months, it's like, I think Nia could be a cool choice. This is an easy way to get it together because she's had such a great return. But it just, it feeling like, I guess they could do Rhea Liv without the title, but I feel like the title is a part of it now. So I feel like it's got to get on Liv. And obviously, you like you mentioned, we're going to be making, Rhea's going to be coming back as that hot baby face because look at, mommy's always on top. She's always getting cheered anyways. And Liv is kind of starting to teeter a little bit. But I think if Liv wins the title, she's probably going to get a pop. So I think the way you do it is you have Liv win dirty. Whether it's cheating, whether it's taking advantage of something, just do something slimy because she'll probably still get the pop because people love Liv. But I think it'll start her evolution and she can then really work on the character while Rhea's out, find a couple baby faces. Like I think one that makes a lot of sense, hopefully if she's okay, I'm not sure what her update is, but if Raquel can come back, her and Liv obviously were tag champs. Raquel's a very good baby face. They could do a mini feud there if she's healthy, which would be cool. But I just think that title has to be on Liv. When Rhea comes back, and we don't think it's a long-term injury. So why not do it now and let Liv really flesh out this new character, which she's working towards? It can slow burn. And by the time Rhea comes back, maybe Liv is extra dastardly. So then you really get the you know, role reversal here. So that's my hope, is that Liv ends up with the title. Liv's still holding the title when Rhea comes back. Hashtag JC knows. Hashtag JC's hopes come true. Because JC's always on top, baby. Not you, actually. Yeah.
You hear that, ladies? He'll treat you like a pillow princess.
No, I will not. I actually, we're not going to talk about this.
Okay.
But yeah. Who do you want to win? I want Nia Jax.
I think you made a very compelling case for Liv. I think it's important to let it just go because she's she's the easiest slam dunk choice. Now, if they just randomly ship somebody over from NXT or SmackDown, then I'll be like, what the fuck? But what it is what it is. So we'll see next week. We'll tune in for it now, right? Because we're interested to see what happens. So,
oh, for sure. And I'm curious. We still don't know what it is. They probably don't know what they're doing yet. So whenever you get a graphic, like we'll crown one next week, it's like, okay, you have no idea what you're doing. But yeah, it could be cool. We'll see.
I don't like the idea of a gauntlet, but it is what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I'm assuming it'll be like a six-pack challenge. Some bullshit. That's fine. Like elimination that's fine. Something. So
give it three segments. That's fine. I'm cool with it. Just. Give me some good wrestling. Give me a good reason for it to happen. That's all I ask.
Wrestling.
Anyway, should we get our comeback on? You just want to bet, yes. Didn't you?
Yeah, I had Tristan Cass's home run. He just hit one. Don't call it a comeback. They haven't been here for a long time. I'm not giving it to a person. I'm not giving it to a place in WrestleMania. What's that third noun? A thing! And we touched on it briefly earlier. You talked about it maybe being a little awkward, but WrestleMania, when Triple H unveiled those world tag team championships, JC saw a flash of his title. A flash of his childhood with the Dudleys holding the world tag team championship. Because look, whenever you have titles like that, there's always one you like better. I was more of a world guy than like the WWE guy. Just, I don't know what it was. Just hearing like the world tag team championships. I'm like, I want to hold those championships. Those championships are cooler. I remember the Dudleys holding them and everyone just like, so those coming back, it's like, look, we've shit on the fucking nickel dime titles for fucking years. The ugly red, the ugly blue. Get that shit out of here, Triple H said. We have the ugly yellow that Cody's holding, but whatever. It looks better because it matches his hair now. Looks better than it did on Roman, at least. But neither here nor there. These titles look fucking dope. I love that. You know, we obviously have the World Heavyweight Champions for men and women and then the WWE Universal Champions for men and women. So I'm assuming SmackDown is going to be getting the WWE Universal Tag Team Championships. So we're getting that symmetry. But I just love this language better than the lame old Raw and SmackDown. Plus, every year in WrestleMania, when we get to the draft, we don't have to do stupid-ass title exchanges because they have the name of the other show. They're just World and Universal. So we don't have to do that, hopefully. So a lot of good reasons for it, but I popped for the design. I thought they looked good, and I popped for the name. So World Tag Team Championships, you get my comeback this week.
I mean, I was excited for it. I thought it definitely – we'll see what happens on Friday if they do the same thing for A-Town Down Under. We'll see. I think it's probably going to be – I hope it's not too similar to the WWE one, though, like the Universal title.
Probably
going to
look like that, the Cody and –
I don't want that though. I think that's weird.
Like they're gonna be that design, but like more tag team-y.
I'm gonna put two logos on it, but yeah, I mean, what are you gonna do? Like a guy's like holding hands like this as a tag? Like, what are you gonna? I don't
know. You know what they should do? Waller and Theory should both get spinner belts. Just make fun of Cena. Because Waller beat or Theory beats Cena.
I mean,
and those guys would have a lot of fun with spinner belts.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be something. I'll say that much. But we'll get to keep, as you say, keep your peepers popped for this. It'll be interesting. Moving on to something that is my comeback. I'm giving it to a specific thing as well, not a person. I should give it to the person, but he didn't look that great in my opinion. But I'm going to give it to Sheamus's music. Too many limes. It says it on the program, episode 417. Too many limes. Fella. He had his fucking dun da 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 intro. They fucking put the thing down. They came back up, and it was too many limes. And I went, oh, I love this song. This is so many. And even WWE wrote up too many limes. I was in. I fucking love it. He probably wanted it. It's such a great song. It's very Celtic, and the fucking song is wonderful. So just, I am so pumped when I hear that song. Just too many limes. Too many limes. Just love it. I just love it. Unfortunately, in my opinion, he had a giant neck injury, so he does not look up into tip-top shape, but it doesn't really matter for the way his style is. He can still do whatever the fuck he wants and look awesome. So it's great to see him interjected there. I don't know what they're going to do with him. I keep hoping that he gets the Intercontinental title because he's literally won every single thing else in the company's history. It's the last thing he needs to be a Grand Slam champion. So
he's on that show now, baby.
He's on that show, and I think having him beat a Gable would be pretty interesting, or somebody else, we'll see. But Sheamus is definitely back in a big way, literally. But his song has got me jazzed beyond repair. I am fucking pumped and jacked. So you get my comeback there, Sheamus. Music.
Anyway. So I honestly thought all night that he was going to come out in the main event and attack Sammy after the match. The way they had him kind of come back like babyfacey, and then like Michael Cole even made sure to mention about the IC title. I'm like, oh man. This is going to be a quick reign for Sammy. He's going to fucking lose it in France to Sheamus. But obviously it was Gable instead. But I still think I think Sheamus as a heel, Sammy as a baby. I think that's a pretty good feud. So I'd look for that down the line.
All right. There you go. Shall we get to the big old finish?
Big old finish, WrestleMania. This week on SmackDown, we have the Women's Universal Championship, Bayley's first defense against Naomi. We have the number one contender triple threat for the SmackDown Universal, whatever they're going to be fucking called, tag team titles. Street Profits, you down with AOP? Yeah, you know me. Legado del Fantasma and Tyler Bate and Dunn. Masturbate, as we like to call them. It's actually Fatal 4-Way, I lied. And then we have the number one contender for the Cody Championship, LA Knight. Yeah, versus the phenomenal AJ Styles.
Well, we know AJ Styles is winning. We know Bayley is winning. Those are two out of the four you just said. Yeah. I would go off the board here and say maybe I feel like Master Bate's going to win just because because
I'm assuming this is happening in the France show. Yes. So I'd have the two a lot closer to home, not obviously hometown, but closer to the area. I think Team Master Bate versus A-Town Down and that makes a lot of sense.
What was the other one?
It was just those three.
I thought there were four matches. I'm sorry. But it is what it is.
There might have been a fourth, but I didn't write it down. So
okay, well, it is what it is. But yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting for sure. Anything else?
On Raw, we have Awesome Truth versus DIY, I believe, for the Tag Team Championships. We are crowning the new Women's World Champ, as I outlined. And we have the JC Tag Team of Ricochet and Andrade versus another JC Tag Team of Dom and JD McDonagh.
I mean, all that sounds fantastic. I feel like Andrade has to win now that he has Ricochet in his corner, and Ricochet don't lose to the Judgment Day. That makes perfect sense. I am curious about DIY. What do you think? I feel like there's a real chance they could win here.
Something's happening in this match. I don't know if we're going to have a definitive thing because I have a feeling the Creeds might turn heel.
Here. Okay.
Maybe they attack, or who knows? Maybe DIY wins the titles. The Creeds come out and beat them up. I think there's a little bit they could probably milk out of this Awesome Truth thing. So I don't know. I feel like something schmozzy's happened here. I'm not so sure we're going to get new champs, even though I do think DIY could definitely be the team. Triple H could get it on his boys sooner rather than later.
So. I mean, he really loves those guys. And all I could think about was The Miz kind of fucking killed himself a little bit when he was like, we're going to bring prestige back to these titles. And I was like, oh no, why did you say that? But it is pretty interesting. And of course, we have the women's title that you had lied out on Monday as well with what you dream to be true. But we'll see. We'll see if that's even going to happen. Maybe there's some chicanery there as well. We'll find out.
Yeah.
All right. And then, of course, we have to do our AEW Dynasty picks, buddy. It's a new year.
This fucking pay-per-view, man. So there's 8 matches announced already. I'm going to refresh just in case Tony Khan.
We're not even going to preview Dynamite tomorrow because you don't care.
I don't even fucking care. It just, I don't even want to watch it. And just like, there's no chance of buying this pay-per-view, even though Swerve's probably going to win the title, which should be cool. But like you said, I think it would have meant a lot more if he was the one that beat MJF. But that's just me. Cause first match, number one, it's a singles match. Some might call it a dream match. We have Will Ospreay, bruv, taking on Bryan Danielson, WrestleMania. Who you got?
I'm already typing in Billy Goat because this man is a fucking legend already in my mind.
Yeah, I'm going to take Ospreay as well. I feel like he's just going to go on a heater here. Bryan Danielson just seems to like love these matches, but lose them all. So there we go.
Okay.
We have a tournament final ladder match for the... Oh, there's a ladder match? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, which means it's one when tag team's winning, the Young Bucks. That's all you need to know.
For the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championships, I believe FTR... Is it 1-1 now?
It is 1-1. That's why I'm thinking
1-1 in the series. But yeah, I mean, the heels make a lot of sense to win this. They haven't, they kind of like, you know, I feel like they were supposed to win against Sting and Darby and the AEW kind of pivoted there. But especially with the gimmick they have going now, and they have a lot of babyface tag teams on this roster, I think it makes a lot of sense for the Bucks to win it. Will there be chicanery? Probably. But I mean, this is the one match in the card where I'd be like, I want to see this for sure.
Okay.
Next up, we have a house rules match for the AEW TBS Championship. It's also for the right to face Mercedes Moné, who has
the right to lose. The right to lose.
Yeah, the right to lose to Mercedes Moné. Julia Hart, the champion and the best entrance in AEW, defends against Willow Nightingale. It feels like since Mercedes got next, it feels like this is a Willow win because they have stuff left over. But I don't know. It's such a weird thing, but I'm going to pick Willow. It just feels like they gave it away here.
I tend to agree with you. I feel like Julia Hart deserves the win here. I'd be shocked if she gets it. But like you said, Willow has the whole issue from the NJP Strong title thing that happened when Mercedes got injured. They feel like there's more TV presence for Willow than there is with Julia. So I feel like Willow is the winner here.
Up next, we have the Nestle Special, the Trios match, the Waste of Time match, the Why the Fuck Is This a Thing match, Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black, Malachi, Brody, and Buddy in a Trios match, because that's just fucking pointless, but give me the fucking Cope Dopes.
The Cope Dopes. I'm going to put that in there. Cope Dopes. I'm going to pick the House of Black because I think HOB, as you would say, you know what HOB?
Hob on the knob.
HOB. I just feel like it's a trios match, and the fucking Copeland can lose this one so we can fucking win his fucking match against Aleister Black when they fucking go off on each other. So that seems more logical to me.
Sound logic, but I don't care. Singles match for the AEW Women's World Championship, Timeless Toni Storm with Mariah May and Luther defends against the woman who never lost it, Thunder Rosa. Tony Storm train is still going, right?
I was gonna say Tony Storm is not gonna lose this title anytime soon, because here's my logic here. I don't know why, but there's, you know, the single white female thing with Mariah May that they're doing feels like either Mariah is gonna cost her the title or Mariah May is going to win the world title from her, which I don't think is even remotely necessary nor make any sense at all, but that's what I feel like what they're doing.
I feel like she's gonna cost her at some point. I just don't think this is the spot. I don't know who it'll be against, but it feels like it's one of those things that you kind of want to milk a little longer than you probably should, because it has been one of the bright spots of AEW. And Thunder never lost it, but she's losing here. Next up, singles match for the AEW Continental Championship. Kazuchika Okada, the new champion, defends against Pac. This is an easy one. Give me Okada.
God bless you, Okada. Wins again.
Make it rain, baby. I will say I love his entrance. Anything with money falling is fucking
God bless cool. That man. He's a fucking treasure.
Singles match for the AEW International Championship. There's the Continental and International. Just like what I just realized. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing?
Well, AEW Continental would mean United.
I know, but it's just like, why? Why do we have 9 mid-card titles on?
There was a European and Intercontinental, a hardcore, and
I know, but guess what? They don't have it anymore for a reason. So
just saying.
Yeah, it's like let's fucking make a fucking dipshit title, a cocaine title, a fucking good god. AEW International Championship, Roderick Strong defends against Kyle O'Reilly. Who fucking cares in WrestleMania?
I'm gonna say your boy, Roderick Strong takes a big
neither of my boys are in this match, buddy.
You don't like cool Kyle?
I'll take that fucking idiot Strong too. He just won it. And cool Kyle, I don't know. I just don't give a fuck. The last time I was interested in him, he was teaming with Von Wagner.
Wow.
Anything before or after that, for a while, he's been pretty fucking lame. So
I just missed the way he would play guitar with the title.
Yeah, no, that's when he was cool. That's when he was cool. That was a long fucking time ago, man, and a bunch of haircuts ago. Singles match for the AEW World Championship. The champion Samoa Joe takes on Swerve Strickland with Prince Nana, who will be swerving all night long because WrestleMania, I believe this is Swerve's pay-per-view. He yes. fucking made it. And he, like we said, this is a moment they want to do. Samoa Joe was a transition champion. Well, here's a transition, bitch. Swerve Strickland, new champ.
Swerve Strickland is going to win this matchup. He will be the new star, but I just don't think it's even necessary at this point because I feel like they missed the boat in terms of the peak that they could have done something with, and it's going to really upset me because this man deserves it, and he deserved it like 6 months ago.
Yeah, it'll be a cool moment, but yeah, I still think when Joe won the title, that should have been Swerve. Over yes. MJF. I think it would have been more definitive to have Swerve do it there and made him a bigger star there as opposed to what they did. But, you know, it is what it is. They're going to put it on him. And look, it'll set up a lot of things down the line. Swerve's obviously going to be a huge babyface. So there's a lot of things you can do with that here. And I'm curious to see what else they add to this card because, you know, there's going to be about 8 more matches. I'm assuming that piece of shit Jericho is going to get himself on the card with Hook somehow. And there's probably going to be some other bullshit that no one cares about.
If they put fucking Chuck E. T versus, I don't know, whatever, fucking
Orange Cassidy. He's been injured for like 8 months, bro.
It's Orange Cassidy versus Trent with Chuck E. T as a special guest referee or something. They'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Orange Cassidy is going to be on this card. So, yeah, there's 2 new matches for you right there.
Yep. Can't fucking wait. It's going to be great. Best friends equal 0 ratings.
You're such a hater.
I am. I will dig my heels in on that, even if I'm wrong. Don't care. Anyway, hope you enjoy AEW Dynasty. We will not be watching it, nor will we do anything. I don't think we probably won't even recap it, to be honest with you.
This cool shit, we'll talk about that. But this is like the least excited I've ever been for an AEW show. Because the Celtics are going to have a day game that day. So in theory, I can watch it at night. Maybe I'll throw up an illegal stream on the side, but at the same time, I'll probably just watch the other playoff games. So
that's fair. That's fair. All right, anything else? We're going to get the hell out of here.
Let's swerve our asses off this shit.
All right. Well, thank you for listening and watching the Jobberknocker podcast. We'll be back next week with some more Jobberknockery.